This is Paul Cannon, a volunteer, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Everything about it is appealing, everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people, they smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far, that night you open and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they costumes, the scenery, the makeup, the props, the audience that lifts you when you're down. The headaches, the heartaches, the backaches, the flops, the sheriff who escorts you out of town. The opening when your heart beats like a drum. The closing when the customers don't come. Get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. On top of that, your partner has parted. You're brokenhearted, but you go on. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Even with a turkey that you know will hold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the show.
Well, hello and welcome out there to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I am Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this. Well, what can we say about the weather today? It's partly sunny here. It's overcast in other places. Just watch out. You know, it's liable to rain at any second. There was a downpour last night when it was least expected. But just be careful out there, whatever you're doing. And, of course, have the radio on to the Arts Magazine Show. We'll keep you entertained in the next hour. With us today to talk about art, it is, after all, called the Arts Magazine Show, which encompasses all kinds of art. A lot of theater, of course, as you know if you listen to the program, but lots of other things, too. We're going to speak with a young artist, Anthony Oropeza, and he is with us to tell us about his work. He is currently having a show being displayed at the Kansas City, Kansas Community College Art Gallery. Is it true that they changed the name that you give out to the Kansas Community College rather than the KCK Community?
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
Somebody told me that. I don't want to be wrong.
I see. I'm kind of partial to Kansas City, Kansas. But,
I know.
Yeah.
I know. But somebody told me that anyway. Huh. We will find out. Somebody will undoubtedly email or text or something like that. But that's where his art show is going on. It's called The Art of the Athlete.
That's correct.
And you have done portraits of many of our fine athletes here in the history of Kansas City. And, of course, his nickname is A.O. And
yes, sir.
I'm old enough to remember Amos Otis.
That's right, number 26. Yes, sir.
Were you nicknamed after Amos Otis?
I believe so. I remember the first time I saw those initials up on the Jumbotron at the stadium. I'm sitting up in the cheap seats, I don't know, probably about 15, 20 rows from the top, and these giant letters, A. When he came to bat, when he would step up to the plate, these initials would show up, and I was like, wow, That's really cool.
Have you met him by any chance?
Never met him.
No. I was just curious as to what he was doing these days. He's not coaching anywhere that I know of.
No, I think he did coach, though, in the past. I think it was maybe for San Diego or one of the colleges back over on the West Coast. So.
Well, if you're young enough that you don't remember him, he was so smooth in the outfield.
Yes.
He could make those difficult runs and catches look effortless.
Yes.
There. He was very smooth. That could have also been a nickname of his.
And thank you to the Mets, because he previously played for the Mets, and then we got him in some kind of trade. So I believe that's how it went.
He was quite successful here.
Yes.
And that is who you're nicknamed after. Is he one of your portraits by any chance?
No. People have asked that. No, he hasn't. He's on a list. So I have a personal list of athletes and people that I want to paint. Athletes, celebrities, or musicians. But I hardly get to it now because my commission list is pretty full, and I'm pretty full up until right now, like January. So I've been pretty lucky with
that.
So
you just go from one commission job to another?
Pretty much in my free time. Weekends and evenings. I work full-time as well. So, yeah, I'm in evenings and weekends. I try to knock out as many projects or as much of a project as I can.
Yeah, there's lots of different kinds of art these days.
Yes.
And frankly, I don't see a lot of portrait painters. I see a lot of surrealism.
Yes.
Of course, there's a lot of that going on out there. And I'm not knocking that,
sure,
folks.
Sure.
It's very interesting to watch.
Right.
But when I think of art, I think of portraits of people and not just people. Sometimes animals, famous animals, things of that nature, lots of that going on, and all of that. But it's nice to see that once again. So in the last 10 years, you have accumulated clients such as, this is the short list I have, the Kansas City Chiefs, mm-hmm, the Hunt Family Foundation, the Kansas City Monarchs, formerly known as the T-Bones, but they were renamed after the baseball team that played in the, boy, it would have been the 30s and 40s,
right,
maybe even until the 50s, not too far from here,
right
in that area, and but that they were the T-Bones were renamed the Monarchs in an homage, I guess you could say, to the Monarchs of that era, and so you've done work for all of them. Do they see your work and decide that they want to hire you to do something for them? Is that how it works?
It's pretty much how it works. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do some marketing on my own with the website and the social media and whatnot. But it's a combination of, they hear about me or somebody mentions me or they see it on social media. So it could be one, two, or three ways. Somebody has met me at an event, like Planet Comic Con or some other event. They'll take a card, they'll go to the website, and then sports art, the topic of sports art will come up, or sports artist. And fortunately, in the past 10, 12 years, I've been in that circle. I've been in the game that people kind of synonymously connect my name with that. So
you're known as a sports artist now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell the folks listening out there who all you've done. I guess Patrick Mahomes' name comes to my mind first.
Yeah, well, actually, it started, to be honest with you, it first started with a portrait I did of Mother Teresa back around 2013 which actually let me know how, if I took this thing seriously, the sports art and sports painting stuff, seriously, how much work and how much time and dedication it would take to come out with something decent enough to possibly sell. I'm not a trained painter. I'm more or less a trained graphic artist. But you put half of that is I actually had to teach myself a lot of the graphic art software. And also before that was web stuff. I had to teach myself a lot of the web stuff, which is what I did for about 10, 12 years. And then probably around like 2012, 2013, situation came up that I had to have some extra money, make some extra money, and I was going to have to be, I was either going to be a barista to make some extra money to help some of the family stuff, or I was going to go crazy and do this sports stuff, which I had no real name, no real style, nobody really knew me as a sports artist, And I said, you know what? I'll just do the hardest of the two. And rolled the dice with the sports stuff. And initially, nobody really purchased sports stuff. But I would do sports art to show what I could do. But people were wanting stuff like Disney characters painted, like Olaf some of the princesses, or drawings of the Ninja Turtles, or something along those lines. And because they would ask, like, I know you do the sports art stuff, but do you do comic book art? And do you do other paintings? I was like, sure, I'll take anything I can get. So $50 here, you know, $10, you know, just making whatever I could make. And then slowly but surely, I got my first commission from a guy out of the St. Louis area. And then that's when it really hit me that this is serious stuff, because he was going to pay a decent amount of money for the work, which nobody had really ever paid that amount for any of the work before then.
So. It has value, of course, yes. And you know, because often things are in auctions. Maybe yours has too, in auctions and things like that.
Yes, and then you switch over to some of the stuff I've been doing since 2019, which is live paintings, and that there's where the value shows an immediate value. Because I go in for these live paintings and I paint for 3 hours. I show up with a canvas, an outline, and a photo reference, and I paint for 3 hours. And then toward the end of the auction, my name's called. I sign it, hand it to the auctioneers, and then we try to raise money for a school or some organization, a hospital, etc. And to be honest with you, in the last 2 or 3 years, they've done really well, really well.
If I'm conjecturing in, because I don't know, so mm-hmm. I'm just going to ask that. Sure. For instance, an example, the guy in St. Louis, he had you do one. What if he wanted to put that on a T-shirt? Does he have to let you know that ahead of time and make you become part of that?
Oh, no. When it comes to something like that, what it is it's, I don't really think he can. But the only thing I would suggest to him is speak to a lawyer about that.
Oh.
because I don't know the exact laws on all of that. But yeah, he just would have to chat with a lawyer about that.
Okay, he's going to be chatting with a lawyer, folks. Don't try to do that to his stuff.
yeah.
So. Well, let's talk then about what's on display at the gallery show, which is happening now. It runs through August the 30th. Mm-hmm. That's actually going to be a closing night party. Usually they have opening night parties, and maybe they did.
They did not, but yeah, it kind of caught me off guard too. But, you know, reception's a reception, so there'll be the art will be there. I'm sure there'll be some drinks.
Is it
food
on display for them to see if they go over to Kansas City, Kansas Community College, possibly now called Kansas Community College? I don't know. I've just been told that. And that's at 7250, of course, State Avenue, mm-hmm. suite number 2440. And I assume that's where the show is on display. How, where do they go? What times do they go to go see your work?
Good question. They would probably need to contact Chai there at the gallery.
Uh-huh. That would be Chai. Is it Perry?
Yes.
Okay, Shy Perry.
Because the cool thing about it is when I went there in the early 90s, there wasn't an art gallery. It was just a couple classrooms for art. And then, in the hallway, there was this glass display where the teacher would put your artwork. Now, they've got a gallery in its space, and they've got artists coming in on a regular basis. They're throwing receptions. Uh-huh. So it's a pretty cool situation now. I've got about 10 pieces there, and they range from, you know, you've got your Kelsey, your Mahomes. There's also Royals stuff from the 2014-15 time with Lorenzo Cain, Salvi, and then you also have sports athletes such as Larry Bird and the cool thing is that I love sports no matter what it is. I mean, it's golf, boxing, basketball, football, soccer, whatever it might be. I mean, I love rugby. But when a client comes to me and says, hey, you able to do, I know you do Chiefs and Royals, but would you do anything like a Raiders, you know? And I was like, sure.
Why not?
I've got nothing against the Raiders other than when it comes time for football.
Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, it's pretty cool because I had a client come to me from Newton, Kansas and said, hey, would you do Larry Bird for my husband's 60th birthday? And that's one of the coolest things is when it's a gift, you know, so you kind of have to keep it on the down low while you're doing it. Cause I love to show, you know, works in progress on social media, but then when they hand it to them or when they, you know, unveil it, the reaction the person gets from the piece is there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Yeah, well, I can see why he'd like Larry Bird. Was he from Indiana at all?
I don't think so. I think he was from like
Boston,
Newton, Kansas. But I'm not sure. But I think he just loved Larry Bird. Everything to go see him, visit the garden. I mean, it was a really cool
story.
That
was quite an era in the NBA. For those of you who don't know, take it all the way back to the NCAA championship game. Larry Bird's school was in the finals, and Magic Johnson's school was in the finals as well. And Johnson won that route, but they played later in the pros against each other. It was quite a rivalry, and it all goes back to that tournament game.
Yeah, you couldn't write a better script.
That's right.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah.
So you've done Larry Bird. Is he on? Well, it was a gift, so he's probably not on display.
I made one canvas print.
Oh, okay.
So normally, what I do when I sell them and they go, I make at least one canvas print for display and for my studio, so people can actually see what the size and what it actually looked like versus some small image on social media or on the website. So yeah, it's life size, 100% to scale. Printed on, stretched on display.
And if you want to probably see this and other examples, go to AO Art. AO is his initials, and that's his nickname. AO Art 5. So apparently there's 5 AOs out there. AOArt5.com, and you can see his website, probably examples of what you've done and things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But we want you to go see the show, which is running through the 30th. Okay. I started to ask before, and then I got sidetracked, as I often am wont to do. But it is on display. Like, what days or what evenings of the week?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm assuming it's at least Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
And probably during school hours. You know, now that school's starting up. It's probably
I guess today's the first day of school over there
for a lot. Yeah. Yes, and so it's a range. So I would probably check the website and see what the hours are on there.
Go to KCKCC. .edu and go for the art gal or maybe Shai Perry.
There you go. Either way.
S-H-I, I believe it was spelled. Or either one, and you'll get the list of where you can go and when you can see his display of art on display until August the 30th. I started to ask, and then I interrupted you, who all is available for them to see at the art show display?
Oh, well, there's a combo. So sometimes I have, I know I have a piece that I, you know, it just depends. So it's going to definitely be Mahomes. There's going to be Kelsey. Lorenzo Cain. There will probably be, let's see, I submitted this about 4 weeks ago or so, I think. But Royals, there's going to be the Larry Bird. There might even be an Alex Smith in there as well. So it just is just a wide range, a little variety for everybody.
Oh, so Smith got it going, and then then Mahomes came, and he took off with it. But you can't knock Alex Smith, and
the
way he ended his career was sad. He had a rather serious knee injury wasn't able. I guess he tried to come back.
Sure,
was never exactly the same. But we have a fond place in our heart
we
for
sure
Alex
do.
Smith, even
sure
still.
Do. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he. He was there for the 1 year that Mahomes only started one game. And after that, it's been all Mahomes ever since. Yeah, we're speaking with Anthony. Orapeza?
It's close enough. There you go.
And we're talking about his show that is going on at the Art Gallery over at Kansas City, Kansas Community College in Suite 2440. And the college, of course, is located at 7250 State Avenue. Has worked for some impressive clients here. The Kansas City Chiefs, for one, the Hunt Family Foundation, the Kansas City Monarchs, they all, do they want you to do the players? Like the Hunt Family Foundation, they have various interests. They're in soccer. I believe they still own one of the soccer teams. It's not the local soccer team.
They might, yes.
I think, don't they still own the Columbus Crew as well as the Chiefs?
That's a good question.
I'm not sure. But at one time, I think they owned, because it was the league was just starting out.
Right.
So they needed people with deep pockets, and that would be the Hunts. And so they had three teams. But now the foundation owns several different things. What kinds of things, for instance, do they have you do?
The foundation came to me, a couple of years ago. I think it may have been 22. They do a game day poster. So they ask artists throughout the country if they'll do a one-off poster so that they can print it off and sell it in the studio or in the stadium on game day. So they asked me to do a Christian Okoye piece of artwork. And so that was, it was printed out and they sold it online and I sold it, and they sold it in the stadium. And I believe the proceeds went to their foundation, their charities. So it was really cool that they asked me to do that.
They need to promote these guys. They're from the past. Yes, I know. But you're surprised at how fast the memory fades. He led the league in rushing. At least one year he was injured, probably would have led for more than the one year, but then he got injured after that. But he was the Nigerian nightmare, and I was just shocked when a few years ago one of these TV game shows, not Survivor, but something like that, a copycat of Survivor, he was one of the contestants. I recognized him immediately.
Is that right?
The people that he was playing with didn't realize he had led the NFL in rushing and all that.
Right.
And they decided, we got to get rid of this big African-American guy.
Is that right?
And he went out the first round. I think he was the first one out, and he was the most fit and well-conditioned of all all of the people playing the game.
Really nice guy, too.
Yeah,
really nice
I'll bet so.
Yeah. Really nice guy. I had a couple seconds. I met him really fast at one of his events, and is a really nice guy.
Yeah, he probably works for. It's not a good way to put it. He probably works with a charity. Most of the players do nowadays.
Oh, I believe he's probably one of the top fundraisers for a ton of charities. He's always in Kansas City. He's always at the game. He's always doing something to some sort of foundation or to remember somebody or something along those lines. So yeah, no, he's and I think he lives and works on the West Coast. So he's still in the circle of sports, in the Chiefs circles. I mean, he's really, really active.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking with Anthony Oropeza, and we're talking about his artwork and who he's all worked for. And I guess I was trying to let him before I keep interrupting when something interesting comes up, working on I was in the middle of asking him who all is on display, and you named a few.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the full list, I haven't have the list with me, and it'll be on my website here pretty soon. But it's a wide range: Chiefs, Royals, the Royals from the 2015. You'll get some basketball with Larry Bird and whatnot. So it'll be a wide range.
Sure. All the kind of work he does for the various clients, corporate clients, other things. What, murals? Murals, probably?
I've done a couple murals in the past. One of my most recent ones was something for the Guadalupe Center in their library. We did it. I like to do murals indoors. If it's an outdoor thing, I'm really glad to design it, but not do it. So other murals have come across my desk, and if I'm not able to do it, I'm really glad to hand it off to somebody I think that would do some high-quality work. So,
yeah, outdoor murals are difficult. I remember interviewing a lady years ago who did a mural of animals at the big wall of an animal hospital there, and it was on which street was it? It wasn't State Line. It was the big block over.
You're talking like parallel? Are we in KC Mo, KCK?
No, we're in KCK at this point. And, so it could be Rainbow Boulevard. And I believe it was, I hesitate to say, I don't want anybody to go over there and cause trouble, but it was like the Rainbow Animal Clinic. And she did a whole wall of animals. And she was very nervous before it happened.
Sure.
She even stayed over there, I think, all night, the night before it opened. She wanted to make sure nobody messed it up for her.
And that's something. Yeah. That's something. You got to protect your art sometimes.
I know.
Huh?
People want to put their little, do they call them tags?
Yep.
Their little tags on there.
Right, and, right.
You don't want that. So that's probably difficult. But murals are great.
Yeah, murals take some time, though. And in most cases, and don't get me wrong, there are some out there who can do it just by, you know, do it solo, but murals take a team. So not only in design sometimes, but also in applying the actual artwork on the wall. And depending on how high and how wide it is, it just takes a team. And for me personally, I'm pretty much a one-man show with no team on just doing paintings, you know, on canvas or wood. I can't imagine trying to get a team together and to do a monster or even a small mural outdoors, because sometimes you need a scissor lift, you know, so you need ladders, you need scaffolding, you need all of that, and it takes some time. The first one I did was for the college basketball experience down there, and I needed to hire help. So I had to put that into the cost of the project, and luckily some friend of mine from Arkansas came in specifically to work. A buddy of mine who was another artist of mine came in to actually put paint on the wall with me. We put the design up on the wall, got the buckets of paint ready to go, and we went to work. And, you know, 4 days later we had a mural, but it was just not a one-man job. It took a team. And even with what I do personally with on canvas or wood, it's a one-man job now, but to be honest with you, it could use, you know, two or three people to help with the wide range of stuff. Since I'm busier now, the wide range of stuff when it comes to, you know, social, marketing, accounting, negotiations, talking to customers.
Well, it's a business.
Clients. Yeah. Yes, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So the outdoor murals, you have to, if I do that, I have to segment a ton of time to take care of the client and give them 100% versus adding it to the list of things I already have to do. So I kind of steer away from doing those, but I love to design them if they want design.
Sure. Yeah. There's lots of work to be had out there. You just have to have the connections, and people have to know that you do this and come to you.
And yes, that is correct. Those two points are correct. But the main thing is you have to have a decent quality type of work. And I'm really lucky that people believe and feel that my work's at a quality level where they would pay to invest in that type of stuff.
Sure. We don't have a lot of time left, but how did the Chiefs, for instance, or the Hunts, whichever one was first, it's two different organizations, but it involves
correct.
The
yeah,
Hunts.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I mean, I didn't know that. It was really weird.
How did you come to their attention at first?
I believe one of their graphic designers started following me on Twitter. And so he started seeing that work, and then I'm sure he probably popped onto my website and checked out the work, and then probably went to Instagram and saw the progression of the work, and then called me up one day, say, hey, we have this project. Are you interested in it? But this is the timeline. Can you do it? And I said, yep, let's knock it out. And so that's what I believe. I've never been able to sit down and chat with him too much about the whole, you know, how did he find me? But on Twitter, pretty active on Twitter for the most part, showing artwork and progressions of the work, and have a decent following, nothing major. But I am thankful that these people really, really like the work. And then I'm sure he probably looked around or asked around for other clients or people that may have had my work. And also the cool thing of customers saying really nice things about the work on Twitter or social. Clients have said, this is one of the best pieces I've ever had, or I'm going to make this the centerpiece in my man cave, which is something I never thought anybody would ever say about the work. And it happens. It's happened more than once, and it just floors me every time. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I'll bet so. So I guess marketing then is the key. So there's a struggling, and they always associate the word struggling with artists. There's
you're,
a struggling
you're
artist
exactly
out
right.
There.
I was leery of trying to push too much or show progressions of my work because I thought, who wants to see, you know, the nuts and bolts? They just want to see the final. And
well,
then early on, they were like, I love seeing that stuff. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. Yeah, it's going on the art exhibit going on now at Kansas City, Kansas Community College. And to get info from them about where to go, it's suite number 2440. I guess that's the classroom or suite number of the art gallery. But go to kckcc.edu, and it's suite number 2440. The college, if you've never been over there, a lot of interesting things over there. 7250 State Avenue over in Kansas City, Kansas, over there. That's where the exhibit, and it's going to be running until August the 30th. And they're having a closing party for Anthony at that time. It'll be from 4:30 to 7 in the art gallery over there. You can meet him over there, ask him questions, and if you'd like him to do something for you, you just talk about it with him there. And I'm sure you'll have a fine discussion of all of that. And you can also contact him at his website, which is AOART. So it's AOART 5. So there's 5 AOs that do art.
I don't know. I really don't know if there is. That number is George Brett's number, and the number true. I grew up on my back playing baseball. So,
AOART 5. Remember George Brett's number. Never forget George. .com. That's where you go, and you can see examples of his work.
Right on.
And, probably send him a message as well.
That's how it starts.
All of
yes,
that.
Yes, sir.
That's how it would start for you. Glad to have you with us today here on the Arts Magazine Show. Wish you the most success. Anthony Oropeza, AO, the art of the athlete, on display now through the gallery there at the college through August the 30th.
That'll be
the date of the closing night.
Big honor. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much, Anthony, for coming on with us. We're going to take our break. Then when we return, we have much more to tell you about. We always try to get the interesting people here, and boy, today we have succeeded. Glad to have you here.
My pleasure.
Well, we return right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Freeze Frame!
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare in theaters and streaming. The Last Voyage of the Demeter is an adaptation of just one chapter from Bram Stoker's classic novel, Dracula. Corey Hawkins and Kansas City native son David Desmalchin star in the tale of voyagers trapped at sea with the infamous vampire. An impressive cast and strong production values boost this claustrophobic thriller, but the fact that we know the outcome saps it of some of its potency. The sci-fi comic drama Jules might well have been called E.T. and the Geriatrics. It's a gentle, sweet-natured tale about three elderly folks who befriend a being from another planet who crash lands on Earth. Ben Kingsley, Jane Curtin, and Harriet Sansom Harris play seniors who embrace the intergalactic traveler as a substitute for their neglectful offspring. Jules has some low-key charms, but never achieves the emotional impact it was aiming for. The Netflix spy thriller Heart of Stone seems like it was cobbled together from ideas that were rejected for a James Bond script. Gal Gadot plays an uber-talented double agent who works for a non-governmental peacekeeping organization coordinated by a quantum supercomputer. Naturally, baddies attempt to take control of the machine. While it has some well-staged action, Heart of Stone could have been written by a computer. Amazon Prime's romantic comedy Red, White, and Royal Blue is a straightforward telling of a gay story. Taylor Zakhar Perez plays the son of the U.S. president who falls for the King of England's grandson, played by Nicholas Galitzine. The story hits a lot of conventional rom-com notes as these two fumble their way to romance. Other than the fact that the leads are of the same gender, there's little in Red, White, and Royal Blue that's fresh. The cast is engaging enough, though. Well, that's it for this edition of Freeze Frame. Until next time, I'm Russ Simmons with Fox 4 and KKFI-FM.
Freeze Frame!
This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, producer, host of Art Speak Radio, inviting you to tune in every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m. for Art Speak Radio. We serve up information about the visual and literary arts community, including live interviews with artists, writers, performers, musicians, art organizations, plus art supporters. That's Art Speak Radio every Wednesday, noon to 1 p.m., only on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The Women's Equality Coalition presents the Equal Rights Amendment, passing the torch to Gen Z in the fight for equality. A panel discussion with Gen Z activist and moderated by Erica Benson, director of Project 28, on Women's Equality Day, Saturday, August 26th at Grace and Holy Trinity Cathedral, located at 415 West 13th Street in KC Mo, from 2 to 4 p.m. For more information, visit WEGKC.com. This message is a public service of KKFI.
And welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Another event, the fourth annual from Stone Lion Puppets, and it's called Puppets Aglow Go. And heard lots about that last year. Apparently that was quite popular. A lot of kids said that was really, you know, an unreal experience, I mean, one said. And we're going to talk about that today. With us is Justin Howe. He is with the performance company of Stone Lion Puppets. He is part of the construction crew. He is the assistant to the director, which is Heather Lowenstein.
That's right.
And when she said you were coming today, she said, I can't come, but Justin can come. He is my right hand. And you know how my mind works. I was thinking, well, but if you were left-handed, Heather, would you refer to him as your left hand?
I would hope so. I hope I'm that important to be the dominant hand, yes.
What began your career with puppets?
Oh, well, for me personally, I mean, of course, I grew up watching Muppet Show and Sesame Street and loving puppetry on television. And then I have always kind of wanted to explore creativity. And so a little later in life, I actually started building puppets, trying to get back into being creative. And I produced my own show at Fringe, and that's what put me on Stone Lion's radar.
Ah.
And now it's my full-time adult job. So it worked out well for me.
You never know how things are going to work out.
That's right.
Say, my previous guest was talking about some things he did and how that led to something, and
yeah,
it did for you too. You have to go out there and do it and get exposed.
That's exactly right. Just do it. Whatever you want to do, just start doing it.
Find a way.
Find a way
to do it and do it, because you never know where it's going to lead.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to the show. We're going to talk about Puppets Aglow Go. It's at the Liberty Memorial Park there. It's kind of a
yes.
U. Most of you have probably been there.
Yeah.
But you drive in, it's a U. You get real close to the memorial and the entrance to the museum itself. Make that U, go around, and that's where the puppets will be coming in, marching around and going around.
Yeah, we like to call this a reverse parade. So
okay.
So really, the Friday night, the 18th, you will drive through or walk through. So the puppets will be dancing around in the mall, and you can drive through and see them all in that U-shaped drive. And then Saturday will be walk-through only, because on Saturday we have expanded this event this year. So now we're including the hot air balloons and strawberry swing and live music, and it's just going to be a big deal. So we won't have cars going through that time. We'll all be walking through. So
Yeah. You got great reaction from people.
Yeah.
There was all kinds of postings on Facebook saying how great this was, and especially during the COVID summers.
Yes.
It was especially nice because people could, if they wanted, do it by staying in the car.
That's right.
And but you still had it,
which
I found interesting. And I congratulate you and Heather and
all
the others involved for that. But it was quite an event.
That was why it was created, was because of COVID. And so, you know, having everyone in their cars, everyone could stay socially distanced and safe and still see giant puppets. So, yeah.
Well, that's going to happen on the 18th, which is a Friday, right?
Yes.
And the 19th on Saturday. From 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. on the 18th, from 5 p.m. till 10 p.m. on the 19th.
Correct.
So it's still going to be light for some of that. But
yes. Yeah. So as it gets darker, there will be more puppets and more glowing happening. So, yeah.
We'll talk about some of the, can I call them exhibits,
Certainly.
You'll be walking or driving by and see.
So this year, because of the hot air balloons, it made us think of Around the World in 80 Days. So we decided to do Around the World with Stone Lion. So each station will be a country that Stone Lion has actually had projects in, because we've actually been around the world with our puppets. So so each station will be a different country, and you can learn a little bit more about things that we have done through our 31 years of history. So
sure. Well, she was here a few years ago, talked about going out into the Red Sea in Jordan. And,
yes.
And I'd been there. So I immediately connected with her on that. It's of course, called over there. They didn't call it the Red Sea. They called it the Reed Sea because reeds are in the Red Sea.
Interesting. Okay.
Going to different countries. And recently she went, I don't know, maybe you went also, to Africa, somewhere in Africa.
She went to Kenya.
Kenya.
And performed with a partner, a puppeteer there in Africa named Fidelis Chilo. And so this year, the show that they performed was Hannah the Helpful Hippo. So this year, one of our new additions in the Glow is a giant hippo.
The Stone Lion have a stock company of puppet characters?
That's ever expanding. But yes, we do have characters such as Felicia Flash and Karma the Elephant, and you know, that seem to reappear in different shows. But Hannah the Helpful Hippo was new for the Kenya trip, and that was based on a book by Dr. Dino J. Martins from the Mpala Research Center. So it was all a big partnership with Kenya.
Yeah. Well, when did she start? When is the correct word? When did she start going to different countries? I had heard of her before then.
Sure.
But at some point, I heard about some of these journeys with puppets, and that's impressive, frankly. Going to other countries to do to do your stuff, so to speak.
Sure. I'm not sure exactly how long she's been doing that. I want to say around the mid 2000s was probably when she started traveling. But
it's very
don't
exciting.
Quote me on that.
It's very exciting. Well, with some of the dialogue is in English. It doesn't necessarily have to be.
Right.
Puppets can tell the story
absolutely
themselves in their own way.
Yeah. Yeah, she took a show to some countries that actually had no dialogue for that reason. So she could just tell the story through pantomime, through the puppets, and not have to worry about a language barrier. So
we're talking with Justin Howe. We're talking specifically about the event Puppets Aglow Go, which is coming up this coming weekend, August 18th and 19th, at the Liberty Memorial. That's the World War One Monument Mall. And they'll be having an event. You'll get to walk or drive through. And you're just to make this clear to you, it's a U-shaped drive through, just like it was in the old days. That hasn't changed, but it's a lot nicer as well. And there's a museum down there below where the actual monument is now.
Yeah.
And it's nice. You'll be able to walk or drive through, and the puppets will be surrounding you at all kinds of points there. Let's talk about some of the things specifically. Well, let's start with Friday first. Anything on Friday you want to specifically want to talk about, Justin?
So Friday, yeah, again, it will be drive-through only. So it's just the puppets. We will have one hot air balloon in the mall, but it will be set up so that you can drive through safely or walk through. So yeah, that's Friday.
Yeah. And then Saturday, it's I guess the puppets need more space.
Yeah.
Is that the reason? So there's no driving, just walking.
Right.
But you're going to see puppets, and I'm going to speculate here, in the vein of, say, the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, where they have balloons, larger balloons.
They're the hot air balloons. So it'll actually be the hot air balloon glow, basically surrounding the mall on the outer grass around
the
drive. And then the puppets will still be in that center mall in the middle of that U-shaped drive.
Yeah. But why are people so fascinated with that? There was even an episode of Seinfeld where I forget which character it was, the balloon, but one of the characters on the show badly wanted to hold the ropes for that particular character because people are fast. It was Woody Woodpecker. That's what it was. And they were specifically wanting to see that particular character and participate in the event.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kinds of, do you want to give it away? What kinds of characters are going to be on display for the people as they walk through the mall?
Well, you will see an 18-foot-tall snow god, as we kind of call it. It's this giant walking snowflake.
I like snow god. Just keep
going.
Yeah.
Our dragon is popular every year. If we ever didn't have the dragon, I think we'd hear about it. So the dragon will be there again this year. Like I said, there's a new hippo this year. A lot of animals. Our crocodile, I think we're bringing out again. So
the hippo sounds very popular.
Yes.
he even went to Africa.
That's right. That's right. Hannah's become a favorite. Yeah.
Does Hannah have a character? Well, she has a character name, obviously.
Yes.
Does she have a personality?
Of course.
I think the puppets connect best, I think, especially
yes.
with the children,
yeah.
if they can have their own personality attached to it.
Yeah. Well, she comes from our show, Hannah the Helpful Hippo, so she's very helpful. And the whole story is her and her friend, Ollie the Oxpecker, that hangs out with her, they find this little lost chick. And so their whole mission is to try to find who this lost chick is and where he belongs. So yeah, that's definitely, she's very helpful and very adventurous.
Some people are going to ask, they can say, Michael, you should have asked him, are we going to be able to see these? Because 5 o'clock, it's not even really dark yet. So
yes.
Is it still going to be as ambitious as it sounds like it
yes.
is?
Yes. The puppets are still giant and they still look great in the light. A lot of them are covered in sequin fabric and things like that. So,
oh, cool.
So they catch the light really nice when the sun's out. And then when the sun goes down, they light up. So, yeah.
Do you actually make the ones, for instance, the ones that are going to be in the hot air part of it? Is that something you have to make yourself a long time ahead of time?
Oh, so we just do the giant puppets. The hot air balloons is a different.
Oh.
They're just hot air balloons. Yeah, so we didn't build those, but we build the puppets, and they're mostly woven reed and paper mache that we then light from the inside. And then a lot of them are covered in fabric or painted. So that's how we make the puppets.
I was told that the music and the lighting played a big part.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can create a lot of moods with light and music. So, yeah. We try to utilize that as much as we can.
Ought to be a very interesting, very interesting performance. On Friday, the great balloon glow.
Right.
That sounds good anyway. And on Saturday, then the hot air balloons on Saturday. I wrote down Strawberry Swing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a musical number?
That's the craft fair. So there will be a craft festival and live music and food trucks and the hot air balloons. So Saturday will be a much bigger event. So.
Sure. Do you want to say the name of some of the people playing the music on Saturday? I'm just trying to publicize our friends, the musicians.
I'll have to look that up real quick. I'm not sure.
But it'll be live musicians.
Yes, it will be
playing
live musicians.
At that time, and that's always exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're going to be calling it Strawberry Swing. So it's essentially swing music that we'll be playing, and he's looking it up now.
Yes.
And we'll have the answer. See, that's the problem. I try to talk to the people before the interview and ask them, what can I ask you that you won't be, there won't be gaps going on. And I don't want to do that. But I just thought, our friends, the musicians, musicians had a rough time of that the last few years with COVID.
Yeah.
A lot of the musicians who are also disc jockeys here at the station didn't work for a while, frankly.
And, oh, wow.
And they're just darn glad to be back at it. And
absolutely.
All that's going on there.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready? Not yet?
Trying to find them. There we go.
That's all right. Whenever you're ready.
So Grand Marquis will be there.
Okay.
Big brass band, and Emma Jo.
Yeah.
So those are the musicians that will be playing on Saturday.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
This will take place on the 18th and the 19th. That's this coming weekend at the Liberty Memorial Mall, they call it. It's at where the monument is, and it's where you drive in to get close. It's a U-shaped driveway, and that's where you'll be driving or walking.
The puppets
will be stationed at various places along the route inside of that area.
Yes.
And you'll be able to see that right up close. You'll walk right by them.
That's right.
All going on. Now, you have other things coming up in a way. As I was reading the notes, you have at least one, perhaps two events. A Day of the Dead event, which is very popular. The museum, usually the Kansas City Museum, usually has events associated with that because of the Latino flavor.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that the Day of the Dead is a Latino is event, the right way of saying it.
It's
this that's something that they celebrate.
Yes.
It's called the day. It doesn't have anything to do with Halloween. It has to do with the Latino culture.
Celebrating their ancestors. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we always partner with the Kansas City Museum and Matty Rhodes. So we'll do a parade with Matty Rhodes, and we're usually part of the Day of the Dead event at the Kansas City Museum as well. And will be this year.
Where will the parade part be?
It is over there by Matty Rhodes.
See, this is why I'm asking questions. He has to look up.
Right.
And I don't mean to stumble you up.
That's okay.
I'm just a curious type.
Yeah.
And I ask a lot of questions. But that'll be going on to celebrate the Day of the Dead. What particular day is Day of the Dead? It's coming up soon. I know that.
It is... Check my calendar here.
Yeah, I ask questions. This is why we should have had a longer conversation before he came on.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have known then what to do. But that's very impressive. They often will have speakers and things like that to celebrate the Day of the Dead. And it sounds rather ominous, but it's you're remembering people before you that were in your lives, your family,
exactly.
People you knew. And you're remembering.
Yes, and honoring them. Yes,
and that's
absolutely.
Why they call it the Day of the Dead.
Yeah.
It's not. It sounds more ominous than it really is. Okay, I interrupted you.
Yeah, no, you're all right. The parade is November 3rd.
Okay. It's slightly after Halloween. And that's probably by why some people probably associate it with Halloween. And it's probably a good time of the year to have it. They're already in the mood.
Right.
Yeah. What kinds of things will you be having at the museum? Do you know?
We have several giant skeleton-type characters that play a part in the Day of the Dead, so we'll have those out there. And I think a couple of we have these big glowing flowers, so you can see those. And yeah, we'll just have several different displays out there.
See, lots of things going on
lots
with stone lion puppets, but I'm sure you can play a school. I'm sure you're equipped to do that.
Oh, sure.
How would arrangements be made for that? Do they need to go to your website?
Yes. StoneLionPuppets.org. We've got a contact us link there where you can request shows. We actually have some grant funding to do free school shows in the greater Kansas City area and Johnson County. So feel free, you know, to reach out to us and find out more information about that. We don't just do giant puppets. We do small puppets, too. So,
if you would like your art class, I know, especially when I was in sixth grade, the teacher was very up on art.
Oh, yeah.
She had us doing murals and things like that. That would have been great for us to see something like that going on.
Cool.
Yeah, and so contact Stone Lion.
StoneLionPuppets.org is our website. Yeah,
so you can perhaps have Stone Lion come to you, or do they go to a place where you perform? I want to be clear on this.
Oh, sure. We go into schools.
Okay.
So we do have grant funding to come into the school. We perform in a lot of gymnasiums, or if they have a theater, we perform in the theater, that kind of thing. So yeah, we've got.
Yeah, I'd like to touch on the associated entertainment going on with the event this weekend. Any clowns, any mimes, anything like that?
We do have, I failed to mention, we do have aerial artists that will be out there as well.
Oh,
so we'll
oh,
have
they're,
some aerial acts.
They're good.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I've seen them
sure.
in various places. Yeah, some are an offshoot from another organization, but I've heard that they've performed at various events like that too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're glad to have them. It's
always
exciting. So as the people walk or drive around on Friday,
right.
They can see all of that, and then, but because of the size of the hot air balloons on Saturday, you won't be able to drive your car. But it's not that long of a walk. If it's a small child, it might be considered a long walk. But
right.
it's through the U that goes up close to where, in the old days, where you would park to walk up to see the Liberty Memorial, which is a World War I museum, and the actual artifacts and everything are now downstairs in the museum. So you go up, instead of walking up the steps to see the Liberty Memorial, you walk down into the museum, which is underneath. It's the only, as far as I know now, it's still the only World War I museum in the country.
That's the way I understand it, yeah.
It's certainly something to see, and it's a part of Kansas City lore,
shall we say.
They have their big events there. Both the Royals and the Chiefs had their celebrations there. So it's an area you certainly want to go to see things as well. Once again, Stone Lion Puppets, Puppets A Glow Go, will be taking place this coming weekend, August the 18th, Friday, August the 19th, Saturday at the World War I Museum Mall, as they're calling it now. And you'll be able to walk around the U-shaped driveway, and the puppets will be stationed at various places along there. And you can walk right by them.
That's right.
I'm not going to tell kids they can reach out and shake hands. They might not be able to.
Gently, maybe some gently. Of them. Yeah, gently. You can touch them gently.
Okay. And so, but they'll be very close
yes.
to them mm-hmm. as well and can get the full flavor of yeah. everything that is going on. Their website to go to for more information, stonelionpuppets.org.
It's always right.
It's always great to have events like that, especially something that you really got great reviews for from
yeah.
last summer's presentation. People talked about the lights and the music and all of that that was going on. So congratulations ahead of time.
Thank you.
On doing all of that there. I've been speaking with Justin Howe. He's the assistant to the director, Heather's right hand. He's also with a performance company, so you'll be operating a puppet. That's a whole other discussion. There's various kinds of
yes.
They think there's string puppets, hand puppets, but there's
rod
other kinds
puppets.
Rod puppets. Yeah.
And then these giant puppets, some of them are backpacks that you wear on your back that go up 18 feet, different ways to manipulate those as well. So.
Do you need more than one person to handle those hot air balloon puppets?
A lot of times the giant puppets do require two to three. The new hippo will take two performers. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anna the hippo. But kind of a mascot, maybe.
Maybe.
Of Stone Lion puppets.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much, Justin, for being with us. Justin Howe with the Stone Lion Puppet Theater, remembering their event, Puppets A Glow Go, coming up this weekend, the 18th and the 19th. Something great to take your kids to for this weekend.
For
thanks
sure.
for coming and being with us
thanks
today.
Thanks for having us, yeah.
On the Arts Magazine program, the Jazz Canadian is next. And he's preparing right now all of these wonderful jazz music numbers that he's going to be bringing you in the next 2 hours. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. And we will follow that up with the blues from 3 to 6. Right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoag. We'll see you next time. Thank you.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And welcome to another edition of Jazz in the Afternoon with the Jazz Canadian. Well, happy Monday, the 14th. What is it? Today, the 14th. Yeah, it's a great day out in Kansas City. This is the Jazz Canadian welcoming you guys who are listening over the air on 90.1 FM and all of you worldwide who listen in to www.kkfi.org. It's a great Monday here in Kansas City. The temperature outside, according to the Not That Accurate Jazz Canadian, is 73. In other words, like being in air conditioning. It's amazing out there. We're going to kick off our show, though, with something from the album Adam's Apple by Wayne Shorter, and I just found out this is a Jimmy Rolls tune, actually, 502 Blues. Hope you like it.